Hey, movie lovers, you can enjoy Real Nerds Podcast in many ways. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. There you'll find articles and the podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel, and you will see the Real Nerds Pod Show. We're also on Blue Sky. Hey, did you know Facebook is still a thing for people? Yep, we're on there too. We are also on Threads. There are many ways to interact with us. All our film adventures are posted on Instagram. If you have a social media account, you can find the Real Nerds Podcast.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
Doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk to film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action!
I'm ready for the most bodacious, radical,
totally tubular,
hellacious,
a cappella.
What? Real nerd episode ever. welcome to another episode of Real Nerds Podcast, where every week we see a movie and podcast our experience to the world. This week, returning to theaters, is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. Stay tuned, where we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, and then spoil a 35-year-old movie. I love retro movies, and this just happened to align, Brad, with...
Boy, did it ever.
Yeah, you know, no other real movies opening this week, because, you know, Hopper's opened last week, and... I guess there's no reason to open up another movie against it. I don't know.
Other movies did come out. We just didn't go see them.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought it was an opportunity because I don't know about you, Brad, but in 1990 and 91, Ninja Turtles was all I loved.
All I cared about.
Of course, you became a way bigger Ninja Turtles fan than I ever was. But how many times do we get to see... I haven't seen Ninja Turtles 2 in theaters since it came out. Has it been in theaters since then? I don't even know.
Yeah, I played the Esquire for midnight a couple times. But other than that, yeah, no. I mean, and as a kid, I saw it once in the theater. That was it.
Yeah. It's definitely a cassette I cherished very much growing up.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't seen it in a while... I want to say maybe 5-6 years. And I can say being in a theater and with other turtle fans, it's kind of, there is something special to it. You know what I mean? And because people that see this Fathom event, quote unquote, which you could actually see at other theaters. I saw it at the Alamo, but, it's people that really want to see the movie and who appreciate it. And I think that's something that can't be replicated very often in a movie-going experience when there's fans. You know, you get them when you see the Marvel movies now and things people really care about. But when you see a retro movie that's beloved, you know, it's really fun to see it in a theater.
Yeah, and it's cool to see them. Like, it's a lot of, millennials sharing it with their kids.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I thoroughly enjoyed. So stay tuned for that. We'll also talk about what we watched this week, which I'm sure there are some things. But Brad, before we get into that, I mean, this is kind of what we watched, but I really wanted to talk about your trip. I teased it last week. Because, this week we have a Friday the 13th.
That's right.
Why don't you tell our listeners how you took advantage of this holiday.
Yeah, this is amazing that this re-release of Ninja Turtles aligned with this week, because I was able to watch it in New York City. Being Friday the 13th, I was initially like, weeks ago, I was kind of looking to, like, I wonder if people, rent out that campground that they filmed in. Is it open? Is it somewhere you can go today? And it is. You can go to the original Friday the 13th campground. And they were screening the movie there because it was Friday 13th. They usually don't do it as early in the year as March. This was like the first winter opening for it. So I was like, I want to do that. And then, you know, weeks later, I found out like, oh, Ninja Turtles comes out this week. So I can like create this trip where I go to New Jersey and New York City. And then for years, I've been thinking like, oh, I really want to go see like the like Ninja Turtles shrine, I guess, to the original comic creators up in New Hampshire. Like Mark's, you know, where the whole thing was created. So I was like, you know, how many chances am I going to get to go that far east? And I have this Go Wild pass. So like my flights are like $16 each way. So I was like, I fashioned this incredibly dense trip where I didn't have like a moment's peace. So yeah, I went to, on Friday, I went to New Jersey and, my flight was on Thursday, so I got, you know, into New Jersey like at 6 or 7 a.m. And I had a lot of time to kill because the screening was at 8. So I went to the Asbury Park Boardwalk. Not the best time to do it because it's off season, so everything was really closed. But, you know, I kind of knocked off places in movies where I was like, oh, that's where that scene in Dogma is, where the guy gets attacked by the demons. And then, like, that's the skee ball place or whatever. That's the arcade in Chasing Amy. Stuff like that. And oh, there's the stone pony from like Bruce Springsteen's career, and they feature it in the recent movie. So I got to like see all that in the beach. And then once that was over, I drove to the Quick Stop, which I've been to a couple times up in Leonardo. And then I drove up to Hardwick, New Jersey. And that's where I was like, oh, it's 3 o'clock. You know, I'll be really clever and I'll go to the diner from the Friday 13th movie, and I'll get lunch there, and then I'll go to my hotel, and then I'll go to the campground. And apparently that's what everyone else decided to do.
Really?
I got to the diner and just a line around the block.
Really?
It moved pretty fast, but like it's so small inside. And I probably waited like half an hour, 45 minutes to get in.
Not too bad.
Yeah, but that's what everyone else was doing. And there was a dude dressed as Jason, like on this main street, just like waving at cars and like threatening them and stuff like that.
Hell yeah.
Getting pictures taken, people had doing selfies and stuff. And yeah, inside they have a ton of like their own merch. Like they really celebrate that the movie was shot there. So I guess they love it. And I guess they do it at like every Friday 13th, not just when the things align, you know, or whatever. So, but they did rearrange the layout of the diner, because I was sitting there going like, well, this doesn't line up because the bar should be over here and there used to be a door on this end. So that was like a little like, oh, it's not quite right. They've changed it. But yeah, and then I like went around the Blairstown area and just took photos of like we're trying to recreate the movie. I went to the cemetery for the movie in Hope, New Jersey. Everything's like 30 minutes away from each other, like all the stuff from the movie, like a 30-minute drive between each place. And then,
how far is it outside of New York City?
Oh, like 2 hours.
It's not too bad.
Yeah. So yeah. And then, the experience, yeah, there's two screenings and I chose the evening instead of the afternoon, thinking like, oh, I want the vibe of being at the camp at night, like the movie. Mm-hmm. And then as I was sitting in the car line, like waiting for them to open the gates, I was like, oh, it's so dark out here, I'm not gonna be able to take a photo of anything. I should have done the earlier one so I could actually see stuff. But you know, anything that had a light shined on it, I was able to get cool pictures of. But yeah, it was, you know, it was just amazing how small the cabins really are. Like they just look so much bigger in the films. They actually, because it was winter, they didn't have all the cabins open. They just had like select like half the campground available. So I don't know, it makes me want to like go back when there's actually leaves on the trees and it's not cold and, you know, do a daytime thing.
I think there's one more Friday the 13th this year, but it might be in November.
Yeah. Well, they do it also on like non-Friday the 13th things, so it's just like some weekends they have like you can actually stay at the camp overnight. It's really expensive, but you can do that. But it's not always it only falls on a Friday the 13th type thing. So, but yeah, like during the summer, obviously it costcosts more. It's like $150, whereas I paid like $60 for my thing.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but yeah, I think they sometimes it's just the tour only, like a walk around, and sometimes they have a screening with it. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, that was cool. And then like
started, awesome.
They had like a really huge merch like table area. So I got you something. And if
you did,
met in person, I would have brought it to you.
Yeah. Sorry, my kid is really sick.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Bring it next
I
time.
Thought I'd give you the heads up instead of you coming here and getting really sick.
Yeah, I don't get sick either, so that's fine. It can wait. It's not gonna perish before it gets to you. But I got myself a sweet T-shirt and
awesome.
They gave me like a tote bag for free because I bought. Oh, I also got the Friday 13th soundtrack on CD.
Oh, hell yeah!
There, yeah. It's hard to find. But yeah, they had tons of stickers and things. I was just like, I would spend so much here. Yeah, and then after that, I went back to my hotel room, and I was like sitting there thinking, like, okay, I have the next place I want to go is Dover, New Hampshire, to see the Ninja Turtle stuff. And it's a 5-hour drive from Hardwick, New Jersey, and I was just sitting there going, like, okay, so I'm gonna sleep for like 3 hours and then go.
Yeah,
I'd have to leave at 5 a.m. to like make it make sense. And then finally, I was just like sitting there to like 2 or 3 a.m. being like, fuck it, I'm just going to go.
Oh, shit.
So I just left early. And then, went up to Dover and it had snowed up there. Mm. So, like maybe like 6 inches. So wow. I'm like driving around, trying to find the street address where they, you know, the house where they made the comic. And I'm just like driving back and forth down the street, like, where is this number? And then I realized like it had been demolished and there's like this open lot.
Oh no.
Where it should be. And then so I finally got out and I started looking around, like, okay, there's like supposed to be a sewer marker to mark it, but obviously it snowed, so I had to like clear off the sidewalk to figure out where it was. Eventually did. And then they also have this mark like on the main street, a couple blocks down, they have like this like iron sign that has like a little paragraph about, you know, how special Ninja Turtles is to the community and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I checked that out and that lasted about 30 minutes. So I drove 5 hours to like spend like 30 minutes in town. And then I was like, well, if I want to also check out the Boston Cheers, the Bull and Finch pub, I got to leave now. So then I went to that and I've been there. Have you?
Yeah, did you get the norm?
I got the fish and chips, Rebecca's fish and chips.
Oh, nice.
Was it also 20 to 30 bucks?
Probably not. I went out there in 2007, 2008. I don't know when Brandon went out there for college. So, yeah, that's when I was in Boston. So I'm guessing it's probably $15.
Nice. Well, my mistake really was that this is also... St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone's going to bars, and yeah, that place is packed. I had to go downstairs to like the second Cheers bar, because the main one was all. But like taking pictures was just like impossible because like everyone was in everything. And then I went outside, and people just kept walking into my shot. There was this dude from Dallas just leaning on the fence, like eating an apple, just like watching me struggle to take a picture while these like. I don't know. And the weird thing is I didn't hear a single person with a Boston accent. I feel ripped off.
You're totally ripped off.
Yeah. But dude, the brownstones in that area.
Oh yeah.
So nice.
I loved Boston when I was there. Because you know, cause I love history and I love that the history is built. The city's built around the history, not over it.
Yeah.
So I always really appreciated Boston for that.
Yeah, if I had more time, I was like, I want to find where they did the Boston Massacre.
Yeah, you know, you can do that. It's called the Freedom Trail. You literally, it's little red bricks that lead you all through the city, and it takes you to the cemeteries, that site, Ben Franklin's house, Independence Hall, and it ends at the, what's the name of the ship out there? Drawing a blank. The Constitution and the harbor. So, yeah, you can do it.
Well, maybe next time.
Yeah.
So yeah, from there I went to New York City, checked in my hotel, and then went to the Regal Times Square and watched Ninja Turtles 2.
Fuck yeah.
Which is cool. And yeah, that I don't know, it's like huge inside. And they also play the movie super loud, which, given how talkative everyone was, I think they know their audience. So they're just like, okay, the best way to solve this is just to drown them out with just like the loudest presentation possible. Then I went to like Brooklyn, saw another movie that I'll talk about later. And then, the next morning, I basically like just kind of killed time because I did a tour of NBC Studios.
No.
So I just kind of like made sure I wasn't late to that. And yeah, I got to tour 8H and see I didn't get to see like anything happening, but I just got to sit and, you know, where they make Saturday Night Live, which is really cool. And then they like took us down and like saw Jimmy Fallon stuff. And, but yeah, being just in 8H again, super small. I don't know how they do it, but yeah, it was cool. Then I had like a half hour window to jump across back to New Jersey. And I checked out Medieval Times.
Yeah.
Which is, if you don't know what Medieval Time is it's a basically like a medieval show where like people dress as knights and ride horses and fight each other. And a hawk flies around and you get served like a huge, I don't know, 6-course meal that you have to eat with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't have that in Denver. So I was like,
no, they do not.
I saw that in Cable Guy and that was sweet. So yeah, it was fun. And then I came back to my hotel like around 9 o'clock. I was like, oh, maybe I'll watch the Oscars if I can. And I was thinking, dude, you just like went through all this trouble to come out here. Like, don't sit in your hotel room, go do something.
Yeah.
So I hopped on the subway and I just went to all like the Ninja Turtles filming locations that I could get to, till like 3 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would go to a place, take the picture. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it's a lot of time on the subway, but there's like 41 stops between where I was at one point.
Wow.
So it's like, it's just stopped every minute. Sunday and Monday kind of rained a lot, so I didn't get to do a lot of stuff at that point, but I saw Ninja Turtles 2 again in Philadelphia.
Oh wow!
Kill time until
you did everything.
Yeah. But at the end of it, I was like, God, you know, it makes sense to like do all that stuff, but also like I didn't stay in one spot long enough to like really enjoy anything enough, you know?
Mm, yeah.
It's like this weird like contradiction of like I want to do all this stuff while I'm out here so I don't have to like spend more money later, but also, you know, like I've already forgotten probably a lot of stuff I already did by now. Yeah. You know,
I didn't do as crazy as you, but I took my kid to Virginia 2 years ago because I love presidential history, and I tried to cram as many like Virginia American founding things as I could, and then I felt the same way when we left after 3 days.
Yeah, like did sink in. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I want to go back.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's again, like, I guess I have other reasons to go back, by the Boston thing being one of them. But yeah, it was cool, hectic, just like constantly on the move, fun trip that is a blur now, you know?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I worked the whole time. So fuck you.
Yeah. And got sick. So
yeah.
Even better.
Yep. Yeah. Good times. This week, Brad, we saw Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. Do you recommend this film?
Is that a real question?
It's a real nerd question.
Yeah, of course I do. It's a 6 out of 5 stars movie.
Wow.
Yeah. My letterbox doesn't reflect that, but it's true. Yeah.
But it knows.
It's totally like a 180 from the first film. Addressing all the complaints from parents in the time that the first one was too violent and dark. So they really went the other way and just tried to make it as much like the cartoon as they could. The plot really doesn't really address the secret of the ooze. There's really no secret, but it's still fun. And it's like way more, I don't know, smart than a kid movie should be in the jokes they choose to use. It's fun. It's fun. It's a blast.
Yeah. You know, as I watched it again, like I said, being in the theater, sometimes, you know, the sound in theaters, sometimes they pick up dialogue more clear. But yeah, this movie is really fun. And I know, you know, everybody loves the first Ninja Turtles because it's a little darker. But there's something to this charm of the second one that I think can't be replicated. And yeah, it's not better than the first film, but there's something about the second one that, dude, when I was watching it, I felt like I was, you know, 10 years old again. Because I'll talk about it when we get to the movie, but there's a joke in it that I totally forgot about. And it's one of my most favorite jokes in a movie of all time. And just being reminded of it, I literally saw the movie and I came home and then I put in my Arrow disc just so I could watch the special features. So yeah, here's the trailer for Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
New York, a city where 8 million can scarf down their slices in safety, knowing that when pizza is close by, help is never far away.
Any luck finding a new place to live yet?
Well, you know, in this market, it's actually very difficult to find good subterranean housing.
You'd think even an idiot could find a place down here.
But no!
Wow!
And I thought all the really good dungeons were in Europe.
The past returns, my son.
Hey, guys, look! That's the canister that had the ooze.
That transformed us all.
Yes. Well, you're the last one, aren't you?
Uh-oh.
Oh, some animals are knocking down the telephone poles.
Let them get their own cab.
The next fight will be freak against freak.
Take the ugly one!
No, you take the ugly one!
Or which one's the ugly one?
Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Cowabunga!
The Secret of the Ooze.
Don't forget, we're turtles!
Just when you thought it was safe to be a criminal in New York, Brad, you fool. The Ninja Turtles are on the job. You know what I loved about this movie, just rewatching it? I love how quick it starts. You know, where the pizza delivery guy notices that there's people stealing stuff out of this little underground mall. And he tells them to stop. Who is the guy who plays Donatello in costume in the first one?
Yeah, Ernie Reyes Jr.
Yeah, because I watched the special features, and I guess they loved him so much that they want a role for him. And I guess, too, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Did I read correctly that they thought Casey Jones is a little too dark, so they wanted to make a more kid-friendly guy?
I think that, yeah, sounds right. Cause yeah, there's a huge absence of like, where did Casey Jones? He comes back in the third one.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, like they don't get to use their weapons at all.
Yeah. I did think that was interesting too. But anyways, you know, the Ninja Turtles show up and I love how the title card comes out with all the Ninja Turtles, you know, stopping in midair when mid jump.
Yeah.
And then, how cartoony the fight is. Cause they just, you know, beat up all these, you know, thieves or whatever, and the
goons,
they just
yeah
create a huge pile in the middle of this food court.
That one goon doesn't even realize that Donatello is like a like a toy, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's so brilliant. There's just, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't think I really need to rehash the plot, but
you should rehash the plot. I'll do it. Okay. Well, I was gonna say, like, I think the thing I'm the movie has like a confidence of like it doesn't like reference itself, if that makes sense.
Agreed.
Like it's not trying to, it doesn't seem like it's seeking your approval. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
Like it has no qualms about just being ridiculous and silly.
Yep.
But yeah, like I'm not sure about the timeline. Cause apparently, you know, there's a scene where the turtle or the Foot Clan is just now assembling in the junkyard, like they're waiting for guys to show up. So it's like, okay, if that's from the fight, I don't know. I assume this was a year ago, but you know, if
yeah, the timeline makes it seems like this is immediately after the Shredder dies.
Yeah, if the Foot soldiers are reeling from that fight and they go to the, so let's say like a day or two, and Shredder, you know, probably hasn't been sitting in that junk pile for a year, right? So it's got to be.
And
like
where was
a short
Sam Rockwell?
Time.
Where was Sam Rockwell?
he went to college, dude, because he realized.
Oh, that's
he,
right. That's right.
Yeah. but like, so if it's only been like 2 days, really, for the Foot Clan, but April has already found a new apartment and leased it, and the turtles have moved in, like that must have been at least a couple weeks, right?
You'd think.
So if it's been a couple weeks, like, so Shredder was sitting in the junk pile for weeks?
Well, dude, he was eating trash, regaining his strength.
You're right. So yeah, like that, I've never been able to reconcile, like, what the timeline of all this stuff is. Like, and also, yeah, she's already got her corner office and everything labeled. Yeah.
Yeah.
Presumably a new boss, even, like, Charles got fired, I guess, in her place.
No, he's spending more time with Danny.
That's right. They're on a trip, vacation. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, basically, the turtles are watching April do a newscast. They find out TGRI has been, cleaning up the some waste that they've spilled. But here's the thing is like, did you gather that like Jordan Perry in that opening scene was hiding something like intentional, like they were doing something devious. And then by the time he meets the turtles in the subway, he's just like, oh, it was just an accident. And he's very earnest about it. And it doesn't seem like he's doing anything sinister. It feels like,
yeah,
originally they were supposed to be the Utroms, right?
Yeah.
And so it feels like in the script phase, they're like, oh, well, we can't do the cosmic stuff. It's like too special effects-y for 1991.
Yeah,
so let's just cut it out.
That they were going to be a lot more sinister. And then, you know, he goes, there's, oh man, I just love these turtles.
Yeah.
I'm going to help them. But
yeah. And at the end, he walks away with a canister. And then at the end, the timeline's all weird because, the turtles, I guess someone took a picture of them and took it back to the printing press and then published a whole newspaper and put it on the streets for a Splinter to pick up and show them before they got home.
Yep.
Yeah. And also between the club scene, Professor Jordan Perry, which why is he a professor? Like he's not teaching anything. He's not TGRI is not a school. It should be Dr. Jordan Perry or something. Anyway,
he's teaching the employees with big dandelions. Dude, what am I doing here?
Anyway, in the few hours after the Shredder fight, he went to TGRI, folded the whole company, moved out. yeah, pretty wild stuff.
Yeah, I liked latching on to the movie has a confidence about it because the silliness of what you just said, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter in the film because even the performers in the turtle suits, I feel like they're more confident in them.
Oh, they're so good too. Like,
oh man, I was thinking that this whole time is yeah, CGI is cool. But man, there is something about
I don't feel like the facial expressions are that bad.
No,
like they align pretty well.
Yeah, I would take it every day. In fact, so I mentioned earlier at the beginning, you know, it has one of my most favorite jokes ever, and I cannot believe I forgot about it. But Raphael is captured, and he's at the junkyard, and the turtles say, "Man, it's quiet." Yeah, a little too quiet. And then, you know, a couple beats pass and they find Raphael and they go, hey, there's Raphael. Yeah, a little too wrath.
I can't believe you forgot that one. That's a classic.
But it is so brilliant. And I used to say that line all the time. And I have no idea why it came out of my head. But when it happened, I could not stop laughing because I think it is so brilliant. The writing in that moment, because the rest of the script is kind of silly, But that callback to the turtles and the joke, man, it is on point, you know? I love that moment. Anyways, that was the joke that I totally forgot about. And then when I relived it, I was laughing, and then I realized in the theater that maybe I was the only one laughing. maybe a little too laughing.
There's so much good stuff, like when Kino's being told the story of the turtles, and Mike's like, all the good ones end in O, and then he has to go get punished.
Yeah.
And then he like doesn't do the jumps, and Splinter catches him. So good.
Yeah. But too, when it's blown up on the big screen, the textures of the skin on the turtles, oh man. I don't know. There's just something about it being that projected that just made me appreciate the performers in those suits so much. I think that really the only letdown is, you know, Super Shredder really doesn't do anything except kill himself.
Yeah, like I remember being a kid and being like, oh, this is awesome. And then, he dies like 2 minutes later. You're just like, oh, well, that was nothing.
But even, the Vanilla Ice bit, I think is really fun. It's silly, but choreographing the fight with the dancing, I thought was awesome. Yeah. I think that whole fighting is awesome. Not necessarily with the other two mutants, because, they can only move so well. But with the henchmen, I thought was just awesome.
Yeah. Poor Tatsu, though. Two movies, he goes out like a bitch.
Yeah.
He's like this amazing martial artist, and they just like sideline him constantly.
Yeah, I always love, too, the how they kind of make Shredder, you know, when you see him, oh my God, his face. But then it goes to a complete slapstick where they, you know, mommy!
Yeah.
I don't want this. It's so silly, but I don't know. It works. It works for me.
I know. The first one, he's like the serious ninja warlord. And he's basically reduced to like a mother figure in the second one. It's very in line with the show.
Yeah. I don't know. But there's, I don't know. The charm of the second one, dude, it just came over me watching it. It's not as good as the first one, because I rewatched the first one, obviously, recently because of the awesome Arrow set that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And rewatching that one, you know, that one's just really cool, and it has this mood to it.
The strong emotional core.
Yeah, I mean, there's comedy, you know, supplied by Michelangelo, but it's not at the forefront like it is in this one. And this one, I love that it's just, hey, these are the Ninja Turtles. They're really fun, and let's just make a fun movie.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the film for what it is.
Yeah. It's also really short, too. I think it's like 78 minutes or something, maybe 88.
It flies by.
So it's like, if they just had like the other 30, like they could have developed a plot where like, they're an accident, but an accident because of this other thing with the ooze. You know, it's just weird to like, the movie revolves around this thing being the secret of the ooze. And the only thing we learn is what all the fans already knew about the ooze is like, this company created it. But if it had been like, oh, they created it because it's from, you know, this Utrom race or whatever, then like that would have been cooler. But I understand, because in 1991 they weren't going to do that.
Yeah, there's an interview with James Marsden that came out, and he said it was so cool putting on Cyclops's comic book, you know, costume, because in the, you know, that's early 2000s. And it wasn't cool to have a comic book costume.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that happened with the Ninja Turtles, where, the first one was so successful, and then, you know, the TV cartoon just blew up. And so they said, you know what, maybe we should tone it down to make it more appealing. And when you do that, you actually kind of stunt the progression of the film. And because when I was watching it, it felt like there was a whole other subplot with the ooze and everything else that just kind of maybe got cut out.
Yeah.
And they, you know, kept it lighthearted.
Yeah. I know, like, and the junkyard fight is kind of like the second act of the movie, but it really feels like the concert is the second act.
Yeah.
Like there should have been more after that.
But... Agreed.
Oh, well.
Still a fun movie.
Yeah.
We watch movies throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching. Hey, This is the nerd news this week.
It's real news.
Brad, the Oscars happened.
They did.
And while you were busy living the time of your life on the East Coast, I was watching the Oscars. It's actually kind of a fun show.
I did see the opening.
The opening was great.
Yeah, brilliant. I wish I saw it live.
Conan is, he's so funny. My favorite joke was about the British didn't have an actor actress named in the best actor in any acting role for the first time in 12 years. But on the good news is they prosecute child molesters. So, you know, that was a really good zinger he got in there. And him dressed up by like Aunt Gladys was classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he really invited to be the host for like forever?
I don't know. I mean, I watch it.
Or is that just a joke? I know. Like, I don't change it. It's last two have been great.
He's definitely a great host. Not really any surprises for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of hoping that Sinners would win Best Picture. Only because maybe Silence of the Lambs is the last horror film to win Best Picture, if you can even call it a horror film.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But, you know, One Battle After Another is kind of the movie that feels that the Academy would pick to be the Best Picture. But there's some great shots in that movie. I thought Ryan Coogler's speech was great, winning Best Director. It feels like the Oscars, though, are a little more fun now. After the last couple of years with Conan being there. So I hope it continues that way.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there's nothing that really surprised me, you know. I expected One Battle to win, but I was kind of like, well, Sinner's fine too. Like, there was nothing I was like rooting for, you know.
Yeah,
like everything was nominated was like, okay, it's valid. Like, I don't have any, yeah,
you know, I'm surprised. I always hope, because when they expand it, you know, a movie like, you know, Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie would sneak in, yeah. And then I would have such a interest in, you know, promoting the fuck out of that movie, getting nominated and winning. But yeah, it seems like they're not interested in that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Did you see the breakdown of how, because Best Picture is like the one category that's voted on differently?
I didn't see the breakdown, but I've read about it.
Yeah. It's so different from like the other
categories. It's weird.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, maybe not even everybody picked One Battle After Another to be their favorite film. It just got, you know, the most points.
Yeah, it's like a weird version of ranked choice voting where, yeah, like, votes that don't rank get folded into ones that do.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, I don't know why they just can't say that this one got the most first place votes, but yeah. Whatever. I'm sure they have their reasons. Yeah, it is a good show, and good for them. Keep Conan there. Conan's awesome. I have a friend, though, who hates Conan O'Brien, and I can't believe it.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. He's a little older, and he says, man, I love David Letterman. I just couldn't get into Conan. And I get it. I mean, Conan definitely has a certain style of humor. But,
as he should. Like, shouldn't just be a clone of David Letterman.
Yeah, but I think his humor is brilliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love his podcast. I love his interviews with people. Yeah, I love Conan.
So he was, like, elated when Conan lost the Tonight Show and Jimmy Fallon took over?
No. Likes the older guys more.
Can you believe that was like over 20 years ago now?
I know, dude.
What is happening?
He was on TBS for like 12 years.
Yeah.
But doesn't seem like it. And nope. I think because he's always been a part of my life. I mean, I remember recording his Late Night with Conan O'Brien, and I had it on a VHS where I record The Simpsons and Mystery Science Theater 3000. And I used to have these video cassettes of just 6 hours of those three shows. And used to watch them all the time. Because I used to come home and The Simpsons were on syndication.
Yeah.
And I mean, well, now it's, I can stream them if I want, but you know, not the same.
Nope. Gotta have those commercials. Those little commercials are time capsules.
Oh yeah.
I bet there's a Way 100 collect commercial in there somewhere. That was a big one.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The good old days before every commercial was you know, medical related.
I know. I was watching a new episode of Family Guy, and they kept on cutting to a Sky Rizzy commercial.
Oh God.
But
Sky Rizzy, Eb Gliss.
But not a real one. It was a Family Guy version of it. And so it was Peter, and he says, Sky Rizzy let me be in slow motion and slowly dance while everybody was looking at it. It was fucking hilarious. Because then the episode would go on, and then it'd be Quagmire. And then towards the end, it's like, I can't remember. I think it was Stewie. He says, I'm tired of these dumb Sky Rizzy commercials. It's brilliant. I'm not doing it justice. I forget what episode it is, but it's a really funny episode of Family Guy. Anyways, we also watch stuff throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Well, before I left for the trip, I can't talk about that one. All right. Well, the other movie I teased it earlier. The other movie I saw while I was in New York was, The Napa Boys.
I don't know what that is.
It's kind of, it feels like an inside joke. It's this parody of Sideways, I guess. That's like 20 years too late. It might be based on an existing thing. Cause like outside in ticketing, it's like the Napa Boys, but in the movie, it's called the Napa Boys 4, in some subtitle I forget. But yeah, there's like this douchey bro-y guy who gets his like nerdy buddy to go on a Napa wine tour, much like Sideways. He's divorced, or you know, his wife is dead. No, his wife and kid are dead. And so he's like, his douchey buddy is trying to like cheer him up, and they go on this wine tour, and they have like a journalist that tags along. And then there's like a new version of a character from something else. They just call him like something two. He's like recasted or something. And then the nerdy guy is, his job. He makes this comic called the Napa Boys, like based on their adventures. So they're all basically like this one last trip to like rekindle all those adventures and stuff. And they have like fans that, come up to them and, you know, reminisce and stuff. But here's the crazy thing, even crazier than what's already happened. And the movie's nuts. It's just like a series of, it's a little bit in the vein of the, like, maybe it's not that, I don't know. But anyway, the big weird thing is like towards the third, fourth of the movie, Jay and Silent Bob show up.
What?
Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes are in the movie. Yeah.
Tell me they're selling wine?
No, they're just like in wine country, and they're big. They're also big fans of the Napa Boys. And they basically like direct them to the next thing that they have to do. But yeah, they're just in it.
Sweet.
And they're fans of the Napa Boys, and they know them, and I've never heard of these guys ever. I don't recognize any of the characters in it other than them. Except there was like one or two other people that are pretty well known. But yeah, and there's like this one evil wine guy, who's like a total creep. And they're trying to win. They're doing the wine country thing, and then they have to like help their buddy who makes wine, make like the award-winning wine to defeat him. So later on, they're on this other story quest to like, yeah, track down this chest that has like the secrets of the wine or something. I don't know. It's all over the place and just stupid. And, yeah, the douche guy is trying to get his buddy laid. The one girl, reporter is, like becomes like one of the crew or something, but they always treat her like she's not welcome. Yeah. What else? Yeah. But it all feels like one big inside joke where I'm just like, is this a thing that people are into?
Does it make it a fun movie, or is it
just... It's fun in places, but I think there's so much inside baseball going on that
it loses
steam in a lot of places. Yeah. And there were parts where I thought the movie was over, where it like started up again. So, and it's super low budget. The effects are bad. And there's also like some shots are just drawn out for runtime, you know?
Yeah.
Like I think the opening shot is just like the Napa mobile or whatever driving across the countryside for like way too long. But yeah, it was just silly and dumb and, sort of funny, but not enough to be like, oh, this is, you know,
yeah,
Nirvana, like, the band, like, you got to see this.
No, oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, if you catch it, you'll probably laugh at a couple things. But again, it just feels like all these comedy people, like, hanging out with their friends making a movie. Mm. Like, laughing at their own jokes.
Yeah.
Type of deal. So. Yeah.
Is that all you watch?
Yeah, I mean, I watched Friday the 13th.
That's true, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to, speaking of which, I went to Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D.
Nice.
Yeah, I took my kid.
Did you take your kid to Ninja Turtles too, by the way?
No, he had to go to school the next day, so I went by myself.
He missed it. Dang, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Friday the 13th.
Yeah, Part 3, dude, in 3D, it is so impressive. I know we saw it last year.
Yeah. It's awesome.
But when I went, you know, we go to the theater and it was pretty full. I was almost sold out. And
was that dude back?
No, thank God. And I remember the last time I saw it in 3D at the Alamo, you know, I was so impressed with it. And it really adds to that movie because that movie, you know, the acting isn't the best. And I mean, you understand because they're trying to set up this 3D process with an actual 3D camera. Anyways, the title, you know, because the beginning of the movie is just a 2D version, obviously, of Part 2 because it wasn't in 3D and they didn't have a way to convert it, you know, 40 years ago. But then when the title cards start happening and they come out, there's audible gasps in the audience about how cool it looks.
Like, and oh, I'm only used to seeing them push the background back. What's happening?
Yeah. And I remember my son too. At the very beginning, it's a really kind of innocent 3D shot, but the dude is picking up a pole to put underneath the clothesline and he aims it right at the camera. So it's literally coming right at you.
Mm-hmm.
And my sons went, whoa. And then, you know, obviously when Jason popped that dude's eyeball out, he fucking loved it. So that was really fun. And then we went and saw Part 4, the final chapter. And he was grabbing my arm. Because,
too intense?
Yeah, you know, because you go from Part 3, which is kind of silly. Obviously there's some parts that are pretty wicked, but... And, you know, that one in Part 4, you know, Jason's pretty unrelenting in it. And that last bit where, you know, Trish goes back and he's running through the house and she jumps out the window and then he rips Crispin Glover off the door. And then he throws that dude through the window and then he grabs Corey Feldman. Oh, man, my kid was sitting up straight and like grabbing me. Oh, yeah. I forgot how intense this part is. But he really liked it. But his favorite so far has been Part 3 because he loved the 3D, which is understandable. It was cool. And Part 4, there was a lot of people in there too, and everybody was really nice. No one talked. Yeah, it was great. So it's, again, I'm not opposed to people enjoying the film. And they you know... Like, you know, the Part 3 where they go, oh, man, that's so awesome. But I really dislike when they're just obnoxious. and
just making the experience about themselves.
Yeah, and so that's made me blah. One of the cool things I got this week that is actually tied to Friday the 13th is I pre-ordered on Synapse Films, Hearts of Darkness, the making of Jason Goes to Hell, which was a documentary specifically just for that film. And I remember when it was announced on Kickstarter, I was really excited. I didn't pledge anything, but it was so successful as a project that it got picked up by a distributor, Synapse Films. And so they put out this, hey, if you pre-order it from us, it comes with an extra disc with a bunch of interviews. And I said, oh, sweet, I'll do that. Because one, it's, you know, through a boutique label and I'm always down to support them. And I think it was like $34. So it wasn't even that bad. And to get free shipping, you had to spend $35. So I just picked up some random, I haven't watched it yet. It's called Sorceress. I don't know what, it's just a horror film. So maybe it's good, maybe it's not, I don't know. So, but it wasn't supposed to come out till April 28th. And Friday the 13th, I showed up at my house and it was delivered. So I guess if you pre-order from Synapse directly, as soon as they get the product, they ship it to you.
Nice.
Yeah, so I watched the documentary and I was a little disappointed. In so much because if you've read Crystal Lake Memories, the coffee table book, or if you've watched the documentary on there where they spend about, I don't know, 30 minutes maybe on the movie, there's a lot of problems in that film behind the scenes with some of the actors not getting along with the director clashing with Sean Cunningham. Even Kane Hodder had some things to say. So I was really interested in seeing, you know, am I going to get the juicy details? And you kind of do, but they really gloss over it. And I knew that they weren't going to go too hard because one of the producers was Adam Marcus, who is the writer-director. So once again, he is very passionate, and I do like listening to him talk, but he's really the focus of this documentary, and it goes to some fan screenings at the Alamos in Los Angeles and I think Texas. And all they talk about is how great this movie is and how people misunderstood it. And that Adam Marcus, again, says that he's smarter than everybody else. Because after the first test screening, people are going, where's the Jason kills? And so he says, well, I'm going to give you exactly what you want. And I'm going to tell you what's happening because you're stupid and I'm not. So it's really self-congratulatory. And it didn't really give too much insight to the film. You know what I mean? It's more, hey, this is fun. And it's really telling because Sean Cunningham wasn't in the documentary. The lead actress wasn't in the documentary. And Erin Gray was not in the documentary. Who I did a panel with her. And I brought up that Jason Goes to Hell. And she was not a fan about how she was treated. So it was kind of disappointing. The documentary is still fun. They did a cool job making it. It's not a total, you know, just throwaway, but I just wish it was a little more dark and hardcore, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. That's what I watched this week.
Corinne sent something.
Hey nerds, Corinne here for another installment of Showtime where I tell you all about something cool I've been watching lately. This week, I wanted to highlight a new TV show, as well as some returning TV shows I've continued watching, and just kind of check in and let you guys know how I'm doing. So, the new TV show that is out is called I keep wanting to call it The Rise and Fall, but it's The Fall and Rise of Reggie Dinkins on ABC, or not ABC, NBC, Peacock, whatever. I've just been watching it on, thanks to my younger sister who has YouTube TV, and who let me have access to it for the, NCAA tournament. So I've just been watching a bunch of TV shows on our YouTube TV, and, one of them, you know, I kept seeing the ads for, you know, The Fall and Rise of Reggie Dinkins. It's got Tracy Morgan. I keep wanting to call him Tracy Jordan because that's his character from 30 Rock. And I think it is a lot of like the same like producers or showrunners or writers from 30 Rock. And I definitely, in the episodes I've seen so far, it has a lot of the 30 Rock humor. Like there are a lot of similar jokes and beats that I recognize. Yeah, it's, I think I just watched the sixth episode last night. I watched like the first four all in one go because they had already, you know, come out and I was just like, oh, I'll just watch them all. And then, so now I'm caught up and I'm watching each episode week to week. I won't say it's definitely not bad. But I'm not, I wonder how long this premise can go on. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a very limited premise. Like maybe they could do this for like a short, like one short season. I don't know if they'd be able to do it for like a full season or a, you know, multiple season, you know, multiple like 26 episode seasons or whatever. It is a fun premise. So, Tracy Morgan plays a former NFL star who fell from grace because he was caught gambling. He was basically betting on himself and he fell from grace because of that. And now everyone hates him. And he is being followed around by this documentarian played by Daniel Radcliffe of Harry Potter fame. And I think that, you know, those two are such a weird combination, but they work. Like, I don't think of Daniel Radcliffe as doing a lot of, I know he's done other things since Harry Potter and some of them are more comedic, but don't think of him as like a comic actor, but I think he really does have the chops for it. And yeah, he and Tracy Morgan have like not bad chemistry, but just a very weird dynamic, but it works. Like it works, especially in the context of the show where it's like, you know, Daniel Radcliffe's character is supposed to be very like kind of prissy and just like intellectual, like he's like, oh, I'm British and I'm, you know, this documentarian and I'm so, you know, I know everything and da, da, da. And then Tracy Morgan's character is just very loud and just has like a lot of opinions and just shares them constantly. So yeah, it's just an interesting dynamic, but I actually really like the, supporting characters in the show. The one, Bobby Moynihan who plays, a former teammate of Reggie's who is his best friend, but also like lives in the basement of his mansion and is, kind of like his like archivist and like keeps all of his stuff. And, I don't remember the actresses. So there's two, actresses in the main cast. We have the one who plays Reggie's ex-wife, but his current, not like a partner, but I guess she's like his agent where she's still looking out for him, both as a client, but also as kind of like an extended family member. It's like, even though they're not together, like they still co-parent cause they have a son who's in high school. And then, Reggie has a fiance who is way younger than him and like way pretty, like, yeah, like outkicked his coverage and like, she's like way prettier, way nicer, way younger than him. And she's a hoot. There was this like one actress. I think we only saw her in like one or two episodes where it was the ex-wife's assistant and they were like, oh, she's a nepo baby, but I don't remember who her parents are or something. And it was a pretty funny joke. But I think she must have left like after the pilot got picked up cause they haven't brought her back. But, last night in the episode I watched, they were, I forget her name, Vanessa or something, but the ex-wife who's Reggie's agent, she's like, yeah, I've hired a new assistant and I am very excited to, welcome, you know, another, you know, like woman from the block or something, Shaniquini. And it's like Shane I Quinn the third or something, or Shane E Quinn the third. Like when in the email, it looks like Shaniquini, like with three eyes, but it's Shane E Quinn the third. And it's just this like frat boy, like this white frat boy, like super awkward. And it was a really good moment. I won't lie to you. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so there are definitely some really good jokes. Like, some episodes have been better than others. I'm not saying, like, any of them have been bad. I'm just saying it's, like, a little bit, like, your mileage will vary. Some of them have been very on the nose about, like, what the moral or, like, what the lesson is, and very much, like, growth is not subtle at all. Like, it's not like, oh, like, he was doing this, but over time, you know, we realized he was doing that now. And it's like, no, he goes from doing this to that in, like, one episode. So, yeah, growth is not subtle or anything, but that's okay. You know, it's still a fun time. So, yeah, I would recommend checking it out if you are able to steal your sister's YouTube TV account or something. Or you have Peacock, I guess. Yeah, The Rise and Fall. Or, no, The Fall and Rise of Reggie Dinkins. So, yeah, check it out. Not bad. But yeah, I don't know how long this will go on. I mean, obviously they'll finish out the season, but I'm like, are they going to renew it for next year? Maybe it'll only be like a half season thing, like they'll only do 13 episodes a season. I think that would be sustainable, and then maybe they only do it, like if they do 3 half seasons, I think that would be okay. A couple of other things I wanted to touch on. The St. Denis Medical has also... I think it's been excellent. Like, this second season has been solid. Like, last year, I think it was kind of in the same boat that Reggie Dinkins is in, where it's very, like, kind of rough around the edges, but I think the structure, like, the meat of it is there, and it's like, you just need to kind of keep building on what you already have, like, just kind of work out the kinks. And I think, yeah, this second season has been really solid, and some really good growth from the characters, and some good dynamics. There are a few, like, storylines that are kind of, like, ew, like, very, like, cringe-worthy, and just, like, oh, man, this is so awkward. But there have also been some that are really, really funny. There is one episode where they go to, a laser tag arcade place. Yeah, that's definitely worth watching. Yeah, I would recommend, St. Denis Medical. I definitely watched season 2. I would say you should probably start with season 1, but if you want to just jump in at the beginning of season 2, that's fine as well. I don't think you really missed that much. Yeah. Yeah. Also, Abbott Elementary has been great still. I've been very disappointed with Ghosts. When they came back from winter break, they've only been back because they came back like late February, the last week of February. Now they're off again. I think they only had like 3 episodes. Yeah, because it was like late February, first week of March, second week of March. And now they're off again because of the NCAA tournament on CBS. And the 3 episodes, one was really bad. One was like okay. And then one was really fun. So I'm like, I don't know why this is so inconsistent. Like, they used to put out, like, banger after banger. Like, you'd only get, like, one kind of dud episode every, like, 5 or 6 episodes. Now it's like we get 1 in 3 dud episodes, and we get, like, one that's, like, okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's gone downhill a little bit. So. And again, they, mild spoilers if you care, but... they introduced even more fucking ghosts that live on the property. Now it's not, one of the main ghosts, Flower. We knew that she had been part of this cult. But they just now revealed that this cult, they all, like, killed themselves in this bunker on the property, you know, decades ago. And they're just now finding all the... you know, the remains of people, and the ghosts are just now, like, showing up, and it's really stupid. It's like, yeah, I'm like, I don't even care. And Flower is my least favorite character of the main ghosts, so for them to basically just have a shitload of flowers running around, like, that was definitely the episode I was the least, of the 3 episodes that have been out this half of the season, that was my least favorite, was when they had all the cult show up, and I was like, fuck. Not fucking more cult ghosts. Yeah, from like the 60s, 70s. It's like, oh golly. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've watched that's worth talking about. Yeah, I talked about Hoppers already. I'm going to go see Project Hail Mary tonight. So I might send in a Showtime for that, or I might join the nerds if the scheduling works out. We will see. So, cool. I'll talk to you guys later about Project Hail Mary, whether that's on the episode or whether that's in a Showtime segment. But until then, keep it real, nerds. Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Corinne. Yeah, they promoted the heck out of that Tracy Morgan show. It didn't really look that funny to me, so, you know, make of that what you will. And she was sending me the stuff from St. Denis Medical because Cary Grant's cutout is in it. And, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I really don't watch TV that much anymore, or TV shows. I've been rewatching What We Do in the Shadows, and that show's really funny.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've watched the last season yet, though, so I gotta get on that. But it's Hulu, so.
Yeah, it's really fun. Next week, Brad, we are seeing Project Hail Mary. So that'll be hopefully a good time at the movies.
Yeah, it's got Wally vibes. So I like Wally.
Yeah, me too. That's one of my favorites. So until next time, we'll see you at the movies.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!